Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. And beloved, God is in the miracle working business. Praise the Lord. This is Sister Glass. I'm so glad you joined me today as we are going to talk about a subject you don't hear much teaching on or preaching, but very early in my Christian walk, in fact, actually even before I was saved, I was introduced through self-study on the subject of fasting. And I was laying an introduction or foundation yesterday that as we look at what the Word of God says, because my opinion does not matter, and actually, brother and sister, your opinion doesn't matter either. It's what the Lord thinks. It's what the Word has to say. And so, before we get into the specifics of the discipline of fasting, we want to look at such things as what is the concept, what are examples in the Old and New Testament about the different kinds of fasting, the purposes of fasting, the benefits of fasting. These are the things we're going to be covering. But for those who are resistant to the idea, yes, let's all agree, fasting is not a fun or a pleasant thing in itself. It can be a tremendous spiritual experience. However, we must be willing to subdue our carnal nature and the desires of our carnal nature. Food is a very necessary thing. And for some, as I mentioned yesterday, that may have physical conditions or limitations that would prevent the normal types of biblical fasting, there are ways that person can fast. And we can do that with things that we enjoy doing, perhaps fasting television, or fasting coffee, or sodas, or a particular kind of food, candy, whatever. It does not require absolute abstinence from food. It's a very personal thing between you and the Lord. But I think as I share these scriptures, you'll begin to see, obviously, it is something Jesus expects of us to incorporate in our Christian walk. Because as I shared that passage in Matthew about the son who had come to the disciples and they couldn't cast out the demon, the disciples later came to Jesus and they, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said, if you have faith, he talked about two things, faith and fasting. And some of the newer translations don't have that. However, as I said, we have to take the whole Word of God. And it's like the situation I shared in Mark. People say, well, you know, that these signs shall follow them that believe. That's not in many of the translations. Well, of the 680 sources of Mark there is, the Greeks, the New Testament, only two of them omit that. So you see what a dishonesty it is? I remember I was a young child in the Lord. I was speaking with a pastor of a particular denomination. I mentioned that. He said, oh, no. He says, no, that's not in the original translation. And whole denominations are sort of brainwashed to deprive the church of the power of God. And beloved, I trust if you will hold with me and stay with me as we go into the Word of God, we will see what a vital, important aspect of our Christian walk, as well as a fervent and effectual prayer life. All right. Having laid that foundation, let's go on now with understanding what is the concept of fasting. And for us to move on, we have to have an understanding of the terms. Well, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew term for fasting was tzum, and it had the primary meaning of complete abstinence from food. The word comes from an Arabic term which signifies abstinence from food, drink, conversation even, and sexual intercourse. A common phrase that was used to imply the discipline of fasting was to afflict one's soul. Let me share in Leviticus, the 16th chapter, verse 29, "And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you." So this was a statute that was commanded under the law that God's people were to fast. And as we go to the New Testament, the Greek word for fast is anestia. It is composed of a negative prefix, and aestheic, which means to eat. And it is therefore a term which literally means not to eat, and can be used of voluntary or involuntary abstinence. Now, before we go into the types of fasting that are revealed in the Word, because for our purposes, basically, we'll say that fasting is a deliberate avoidance of food or whatever we're fasting for spiritual purposes. Now, let's look at some very important instructions, commands, if you will, that Jesus gave as recorded in the Sermon on the Mount. And that's, I'm going to be reading from Matthew, the 6th chapter. And he begins, as he speaks about the Great Commission, he says, "Go therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Those were the last few words Jesus spoke to his disciples, recorded in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 19 through 20. He says, "Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you." So, as we go to the 6th chapter of Matthew, we see that Jesus, in that chapter, taught on three key topics: almsgiving, prayer, and fastings. Each of these subjects, he said, when and not if. So let's just read. "Take heed that ye do not your alms," this is verse 1, "before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thou alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Then he talks about prayer, verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues, in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly." And then I'm going to move on to 16. "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." How's that? So Jesus is giving in his teaching to the disciples, to all of us down through the ages, that he expects us to fast. He said when and not if. Jesus took for granted a regular part of a disciple's walk included fasting. He expected his audience to fast, even as he anticipated their praying and giving. And Jesus further taught in Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 15, "When the bridegroom shall be taken from them," that's, of course, referencing his own death and resurrection, "then shall they fast." He was talking about his disciples. And remember, some came to him and said, "Well, why do John's disciples fast and yours don't?" Well, when Jesus is in the physical presence of his own, it's a time for feasting, not fasting. Hence, Jesus' disciples never fasted when he was with them in the earth. Nevertheless, Jesus explicitly taught that once he departed, his disciples would then fast. Praise God. So, here we see that it's a spiritual purpose in fasting. Now let's go and look at what the Bible describes as fasting. We understand basically it is a type of abstinence from food. Well, Scripture records the absolute fast, and this is no food or drink. And such fasting is truly an exceptional form, and it is used only for extraordinary situations. And basically, in terms of medical science, it is strongly recommended that no one go beyond 3 days without water. We can go a lot longer without food, but not water. But God will honor this kind of fast. We see, remember Moses when he was on the Mount Sinai getting the law? He was 40 days and nights in the presence of the Lord. That's recorded in Deuteronomy 9 and 9. And he didn't eat or drink. Now that was supernatural. He was supernaturally sustained. And then another example of supernatural intervention, Elijah, when he was fleeing from Jezebel to the wilderness of Beersheba, he went in the strength of the meat that the angel had given him 40 days and 40 nights when he arrived at Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. And that's recorded in 1 Kings 19:5-8. And then we see that Ezra mourned for the transgressions of the Israelites. Well, we need to continue this on tomorrow's broadcast. My time is drawing to a close, but I hope as you listen, you'll begin to see, if you're not familiar with the discipline of fasting, that you'll be encouraged to take some initial steps toward obeying the Lord in this matter. And if you are, perhaps it's been a while since you have, it will encourage you, because there is great power in fasting, and it is a way to see the hand of God move in your situation as well as in those around you and in your circumstances. Well, my time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I invite you to write if this is something you've just, as much as you've heard, you want to be able to. If you need the Lord's assistance, allow me the privilege of standing with you in prayer. The announcer will give our contact information. You may write, or if you choose to email, if you would like a personal response, I invite you to enclose your mailing address. But I will confirm receipt as well as certainly pray for you. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.